the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Hi, everyone. I am Paul Horn, lead financial planner for Financial Sense Wealth Management, and I'm filling in for Jim, who is on a much-deserved vacation this week.
And I'm Chris Prytower. We've seen several reports over the last couple of weeks about what is referred to as the gig economy and how it is redefining retirement. Now, Paul, as a financial planner, are you seeing this affect your clients?
Absolutely, Chris. There's been a growing interest in this trend over recent years, where we've seen a lot of people really beginning to look at the gig economy as a way to supplement or better prepare them for retirement. Today, we'll discuss some of the benefits and potential drawbacks of the growing opportunities being created in the gig economy.
You know, Paul, when I looked up the word gig in the dictionary, it said, quote, a light two-wheeled carriage pulled by one horse. So does gig economy mean that we're ditching the automobile? That would certainly mean cleaner emissions, but well, depending on your definition.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that, Chris, because there is some relevance to that example. And what I mean by that is this: technology is part of the reason of what's been creating the rapid advancement of the gig economy. And by that very definition of going from a one-horse buggy to a car was technology. So that is kind of apropos, interestingly enough. But really, in a gig economy, what that means is temporary or flexible jobs are commonplace, with companies tending to gravitate towards hiring independent contractors or freelancers. Traditionally, this would have been jobs like consulting, but more recently, we've seen other opportunities become created. The best example that I can think of would be an Uber driver.
While there are many new and exciting opportunities being created, it seems like many of these positions may be geared toward millennials. So for that portion of our audience that are not millennials, how are baby boomers doing in the gig economy?
They are doing very well. There are several examples that I've seen from different gig opportunities. Just to name a few, some of the examples that we've seen include Airbnb, which has actually been one of the more profitable opportunities for people in the gig economy. Huh. They identify women age 60 plus as their most successful host and the fastest growing community of providers. Uber, as I mentioned earlier, reports 24% of their drivers are over the age of 50. DogVacay, which is now part of Rover.com, reports that people over 50 constitute 25% of their providers for dog care services. Last stat I would give is 40% of all workers of the freelance or quote-unquote gig economy are between the ages of 53 and 64.
Wow. Well, and you know, I was reading today one of our previous guests on Financial Sense NewsHour, David Rosenberg, wrote today that the number of those that are working part-time for economic reasons retreated 205,000 in the biggest decline in 8 months. So that's good news, but still, with the advancement of technology, we are beginning to see more opportunities being created, like those you just mentioned, Paul, and for people really to even work freelance. But how do you think technology will continue to shape the gig economy?
I think it's going to be the primary driver for new opportunities in the next 10, 15 years. I do believe traditional avenues will still be viable. Some examples would be real estate agent or consulting. But I do believe that as technology continues to evolve, we're going to begin to see more opportunities, probably see opportunities that simply didn't exist today. One of those examples might be Amazon affiliate, which that position didn't exist 10 years ago. Actually, speaking of that Amazon affiliate, while I was on vacation this past week over the 4th of July, I got to talk with a woman who was actually nearing retirement, and she worked as a nutritionist. What she had done, she'd created an online website for people to go to pay for her expertise. And as well with that, she did sell products as an Amazon affiliate. So she was able to be an online retailer and also online retailer and also capitalize on her knowledge and experience as well.
That's a perfect example, Paul. And it does appear that the growth of this gig economy will continue, even though as David Rosenberg pointed out, some of those numbers are better in terms of some folks not being forced to work in retirement. But according to a recent report from Betterment, the name of the article is Gig Economy Workers and the Future of Retirement. Today, more than one in three workers are freelancers, and that's expected to grow to 40% by the year 2020.
Yeah, it's very interesting. There's a very interesting and eye-opening article there. About a third of gig workers today are 55 years or older, and they're primarily working in the gig economy to help them either save for retirement or help supplement their current income needs. The gig economy really is creating greater opportunities in the past to allow for people to increase their retirement savings or help supplement their lifestyles while they are retired.
Well, and that brings to mind, there was a recent study by Gallup that showed that 3/4 of those that are close to retirement age plan on working past normal retirement age. Paul, that is a heck of a number. I mean, 75%. What do you think are the reasons for that?
There's really three drivers that I see for this growing trend. Number one is retirees just want to create a financial safety net. Americans are living longer than ever. That really is the number one driver I see. There are some very scary statistics out there, but the reality is the average American, it just isn't financially prepared for retirement. So working their normal job past the normal retirement age or taking on additional work in the gig economy is a way that they're able to boost their savings and help better prepare them or better position them for retirement. The next reason I see there is they're trying to pursue something more meaningful, and they just may be simply trying to avoid being bored. I think retirement for many people has a negative stigma. Some people just picture retirement as sitting on a porch and waiting for your time to come. waiting for the Grim Reaper or something like that. But in reality, people are discovering retirement is more about pursuing passions and having new experiences and being able to do things that you may not have had the opportunity to do before.
You know, Paul, I appreciate you putting it in those terms because it's kind of like when you turn 18 and everyone expects you to know exactly what you're going to do with your life, and very few teenagers are prepared to know what to do with their life. And I think the way you put it as far as retirement's concerned, well, not everybody wants to do the same thing once they finish a primary career. They may want to stay active. They may have passions or hobbies they want to pursue. I do want to ask you, since you work with a lot of clients, do you have, I don't know, one example that comes to mind of maybe a client you've worked with that has experienced something like this related to the gig economy?
Yeah, actually, like I said, this is a growing trend, so several examples come to mind. One that's personal to me is my father-in-law. He worked at a defense contractor for over 35 years. When he retired, for the first 3 to 6 months, he was just bored, sitting on the couch, had no idea what to do. It took him a little while to come to grips with retirement and understand the opportunities that he would have there. Since then, he's been able to actually do some gig work consulting, as well as really pursue some volunteer work with some nonprofits. Another example that really comes to mind as well would be a single client that we worked with. She was just consumed by the hours related to her role. I mean, and that career really defined who she was for the most part. She just wasn't able to do the things that she wanted to do. Her own outlet for stress while she was working, though, was yoga. And that was something she was very passionate and committed to. So when she did eventually retire from her primary 9-to-5 role, what she did is she decided to work part-time as a yoga teacher at a local studio, also fill in for teaching some classes as kind of a substitute teacher at a few local gyms. But by doing that, what she was able to do was study and travel to conferences and other things and really gain more experience. And she's been quite happy and feeling quite pursuing her passion while in retirement.
And those really are some interesting examples. Do any of your client examples involve a two-wheeled carriage pulled by a horse? but seriously, it does seem like people are choosing to work and not just being forced to work. Why would someone choose to work? I mean, isn't the general idea of retirement to no longer have to punch a time card?
That is the ideal for a lot of people. That's what they picture of retirement, is no longer having to work for the man, as they say. But really, at the end of the day, people are looking for purpose. that's just really the main reason I'm seeing people continuing to work, because there's certain individuals out there that just want to work until the day they die. That's who they are. That's what they do. That's what they enjoy. Other individuals, like my yoga instructor client, is to pursue a passion. There's several different reasons that I've seen different people continuing to work. At the end of the day, when it comes to being prepared for retirement, you simply can do one of three things. You can make more money, you can spend less, or you can die sooner. In reality, I find most people don't choose number three, die sooner. Most of us are very comfortable with our current living lifestyle, so we really don't want to cut back on expenses. So that really puts a lot of pressure on the first option, which is make more money. So I think that being the reality for most individuals, as I said, there's a lot of people out there that still aren't totally prepared for retirement. The gig economy and being able to work longer becomes the best avenue for them to make more money and fill that retirement bucket. For most people, it's just trying to make more or fill that first bucket for retirement. There are a few individuals out there, though, it's just purely out of boredom. I do have a client that comes to mind who is retired, lives in LA, sitting at home, can do whatever he wants for the rest of his life. And nowadays, what is he doing? He's an Uber driver. Why? Because he can. He has several interesting stories, actually, because living in LA, he's had the opportunity to drive several musicians and celebrities with some very interesting stories.
Okay, Paul, so how does one decide if the gig economy is right for them?
That's an excellent question. Number one, it's really got to be understanding what is your rationale for wanting to have a gig job. Are you doing this because you need the money, or are you doing this to pursue a passion like the yoga teacher we talked about earlier? Or is it something else just because you're bored or you're looking for a new adventure? In reality, I would say, though, if the reason that you're doing this because you're bored or because you're looking for a new adventure, you might be better off pursuing a new hobby or volunteering your time and talent, as many nonprofits need more than just people's money. So there's many opportunities out there that people aren't even aware of. Now, if you really need help figuring out on the financial end, if this is something you need to do or not to help create a better nest egg or help supplement your income in retirement, really the only way to truly gauge that is having a comprehensive financial plan.
I'm really glad you brought in the nonprofit part of it, because that really can be fulfilling to so many as a way of doing something meaningful in retirement. But you'd mentioned Uber. What are some other examples for our listeners of jobs relevant to the gig economy?
The really interesting thing about the gig economy nowadays is it really can be virtually anything you want it to be. What I found from clients that are working in the gig economy, those that tend to be the most successful are those that are in positions that take advantage of their talent and their social network. One example I have would be a client that owns three rental properties. They had several friends who also had rental properties as well, who actually came to them for a lot of advice in terms of how to run the rental properties. So what they ended up doing was starting a property management side business so that they managed their rental properties through a property management company, but they also got paid by some of their friends to help them deal with the minutia of owning real estate. They work part-time, a couple days a week, and they're able to fill a need that friends had based on their social circle. So it made it pretty easy for them. Another example I've seen is a client that was a retired sheriff. Very friendly guy, very gregarious. He was able to develop some good relationships from a referral network. So now he just works 2 days a week, just works the weekends, and works for family, friends, and a few close referral partners. And he works as a real estate agent. In terms of the opportunities that are out there, there's some wonderful articles. CNBC, several of the websites have done a wonderful job of covering all the different opportunities out there. Just to kind of give our listeners some idea, there's Uber, there's the consulting, an adjunct professor, going back to where it all started. So a lot of our clients are well-educated, master's, doctorate, and being an adjunct professor at a local university or an online university can be a great way of utilizing your expertise. Other examples might be a bookkeeper and a virtual assistant, or going back to following passions, being a photographer or being a handyman. There's several websites out there that I've used personally for people to help me with stuff around the house just due to lack of time or lack of knowledge. Hmm. And there's plenty of people like myself out there like that.
And for our listeners, if there are any other gregarious sheriffs out there, the gig economy is definitely for you. Paul, I've heard that boss, the word boss, is spelled double S-O-B backwards. But other than having a boss, what are some other drawbacks to working in retirement?
You know what's funny about the gig economy is a lot of times is you get to be your own boss. So depending on how you look at that, that can be a potential benefit or a potential con or negative. There are some other concerns or things that people need to be aware of if they are really going to be considering doing the gig economy. Number one, tax law changes. So we've lost a lot of the deductions that people in the gig economy were able to take advantage of last year. So those deductions are no longer there this year under our new tax rules. So you lose some of the tax benefits potentially. Number two, if you are collecting Social Security, the income you're earning from the gig economy, depending on your income level, portion of the Social Security benefits may become taxable. It can be stressful working in the gig economy as work assignments tend to be temporary and they can sometimes be infrequent. It may not be a steady source of income if you're trying to use that, especially if that's important to supplement income needs.
Okay, so it seems that the gig economy is not necessarily the golden ticket to solve all retirement issues. However, it does seem to be an excellent opportunity for individuals to help them either supplement or be better prepared going into retirement.
I think you're spot on there, Chris. I think you're absolutely correct that it's a great way to supplement or help them be better prepared while in retirement. The gig economy is really great for those that, again, are trying to supplement retirement income, those that are trying to boost their retirement savings, or those that want to pursue a passion and start a new adventure. Ultimately, individuals involved in the gig economy are typically trying to make more money to increase savings before retirement or simply looking to supplement their income while in retirement. One thing that is important to consider if you are in retirement is that having a gig job can be beneficial if you delay your Social Security benefits. For every year past full retirement age, for most individuals that's 66 to 67 years old, if you delay your Social Security benefits, use a gig job instead to supplement your income. And by delaying your Social Security benefits, your benefit will actually increase 7 to 8% per year that you delay your benefits up until age 70. So for some people, it can be a wonderful planning tool to help bridge that gap and help give them steady income throughout retirement. It is best to work with a professional who can help look at your individual situation, really help you understand the pros and cons for your given circumstances.
Well, Paul, it's time for our real-life case study, a hypothetical illustration based on real-life examples. And of course, names and circumstances have been changed to protect privacy. I do want to mention that we have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that are being made here.
In today's case studies, we're going to be talking about some clients named Stan and Kate Barnett. Talk with them. We'll be looking specifically at real estate. And is it the land of golden opportunity here in 2018 as real estate market has been hot for most of this year and across the country? Little bits of information to know about Stan and Kate. Stan is 55, Kate's age 50. Really looking hopefully for early retirement for both of them around 57 to 62. Life expectancy for both is pretty long. Stan about 89, Kate around 91. So both of them about age 90. Risk tolerance and investment objectives, like most retirees, tends to be moderate and really just focusing more on the preservation of capital instead of trying to grow their money. A little bit about Stan. He has been very successful in his current career. He has been making his own investment decision. He's had the luxury of having some great benefits with his current employer and really just looking to begin to consider retirement. Really wants to make sure he's making the most of his investments and his final years working. He is a little bit concerned about taxes that they're having to pay and just dealing with the high cost of living in California. Kate, on the other hand, she is working, but she has spent a large part of her time raising their three kids. And the kids are now independent on their own, and she's really looking to transition back more into the workforce. She actually wouldn't mind finding some sort of part-time work or something in the gig economy to help create some extra income for them. Kate's biggest goals include trying to buy a home and really supporting their youngest child through college.
So she's the one that really needs to retire if she was the one primarily raising the kids, right?
Yeah, she had the 24-hour job.
Yeah.
Looking at Stan and Kate's investment portfolio, it is moderately aggressive on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being let's put money under the mattress, 10 being let's go to Vegas, put it all on black. Their portfolio currently is a 6.
Okay.
So they're moderately aggressive.
So given the unique set of circumstances for Stan and Katie, what would you say is probably most important to them?
They each had different concerns. For Stan, it was managing the high cost of living in California. It was trying to reduce taxes and maximize income. While for Kate, her primary concern was actually trying to buy a new home. So I would say those would be the four items that we were really focused on the plan for them. Looking at their income, they have a fantastic income, making almost $200,000 a year. Living expenses are just shy of $150,000. So they actually have about $44,000 a year surplus, extra money that they can use to boost retirement savings or help cover some of those concerns that they had, like paying for their youngest kid's college expenses. And looking at in retirement, they did want to try and maintain the same standard of living as Stan had alluded to. So really, we're looking at trying to meet annual budget of about $138,000. They did have some good income sources to help with that. $55,000 from Stan's pension with his employer, combined Social Security benefits, about $41,000. So they really only needed to live off about $43,000 of their own money to help support their current lifestyle in retirement.
So not too much of a shortfall to fill.
No, not terribly short. So under part of our recommendations was to have them get a rental property out of California for some tax benefits and to help cover some of that shortfall. They are projected to receive net rental income after expenses of about $12,000 per year. So their shortfall is actually projected to be about $33,000. Looking at their assets, they've done a great job saving. Like most homeowners in California, that is by far their biggest asset, about $900,000. They do have investments worth over $1.1 million as well, but they have left on their primary mortgage about $1.8 million. So as we had mentioned earlier, the shortfall that they were trying to cover in retirement was about $33,000. By changing the allocation with their current investment, we were looking to produce total investment income of about just shy of $35,000 a year, which, based on their current budget, would give them a surplus of almost $5,000 per year. So looks like they should pretty readily be able to meet their income needs. To help them get to that point where they are very comfortable with the retirement, we had a few recommendations for them. One was when they were to buy that new home they were looking for, it was to downsize their home. That would give them some extra cash to invest, also help lower their expenses related to their home, whether it be things like property taxes or just basic utilities. In terms of maximizing their income, we wanted to have them buy one or two rental properties out of state. We would have them set up an LLC for asset protection reasons. This would tie into our guest expert for this week, Elizabeth Morgan, who will be airing tomorrow on Tuesday, talking about some ways to protect your assets, as that it can be just as important as trying to grow or manage your assets. And the last thing is, by having that LLC set up, it does allow them to take advantage of some of the new tax law benefits to help minimize taxes as well.
Well, thank you, Paul, for that case study. That's always helpful. And I want to remind our listeners that Paul Horn is the lead financial planner for Financial Sense Wealth Management. And my name is Chris Prytower. On behalf of all of us at Financial Sense, we hope you all have a great week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.